Good evening, everyone. The Barn NPRN net will begin in approximately 5 minutes. Clear frequency will be appreciated. Thank you. Good evening, everyone. This is Ryan, WQI-299 with the Bay Area PETERNET NPRN meeting. This net will last for approximately 1 hour, but needs to go longer if needed. A copy of tonight's net will also be available by Monday morning via our website, www.barnsys.org. That is www.barnsys.org. For those of you who may be monitoring on a bubble pack or a scanner and do not have a GMO's license but would like to respond, you are welcome to ask any questions via our online chat window located on our contact information page. Your questions or comments via chat will be read aloud over the repeater so everyone can hear. However, if you prefer to keep your comments private, please send us an email instead. This is a directed net with a dedicated net controller, WQI-299. That means that I will call you in turn and handle the order of the net taking place. All traffic will go through me unless I announce an open discussion or have closed the net. Before we begin, are there any priority or emergency traffic? Are there any system or organizational announcements, regardless of what organization you belong to? All right, I do have a quick announcement from Barn. We now have a sales booth at the DeAnza Electronics Flea Market. This market takes place in the southwest corner parking lot of the DeAnza College and operates from 5 a.m. to 12 p.m. We are usually located 2 rows up from the Red Cross van and always have our business banner hanging over our booth. 10% of all purchases will support the Barn repeater network. I invite you to join us and look forward to seeing you there. All right. Tonight we'll be discussing the FCC Notice of Proposed Rulemaking, or the NPRM. A copy of the NPRM is available on our website. Again, that's www.barnsys.org/barn. www.barnsys.org/barn. To participate on this net via our Barn R1 repeater, you must do the following. Provide your GMS call sign when announced. Wait till your call sign is called, and when called, you may have up to 2 minutes to ask any questions. To participate via the online chat window, please send me your GMS call sign, if you have any, your first name, and the city you live in. We will have 2 parts to this net. The first part is about Barn and the NPRM. And the second part is where you may discuss about the NPRM among other users on the system tonight through the net controller. All right, I do see we have one visitor on the chat window, and wait for him to write. Let's go ahead and begin here with part one. We'll start with the history about Barn, what we do here, who we are, what our goals are for this year. We'll also explain what we are prepared to do in a worst-case scenario for the NPRM. After this information is relayed to you, I will open the net for questions and answers, and we'll give instructions during after that time. We do have dial 4 on the side here on the chat window. I'll get to you in a minute. All right, about the history with Bay Area PETERNET. We started in 2001 with the initiate of, we did start in 2001 with the goal to provide GMS recruiter coordination and community services to the South Bay. During the course of starting up the repeater net, we did receive several contacts and emails from different people stating that they needed a repeater for the area. So we decided to open up a repeater, which is now located in the South Bay area and does cover all of San Francisco Bay from the Marin Headland, which is north of San Francisco, all the way down to Morgan Hill. In late 2008, we decided to open up a second repeater, which is the Barn R2 system, and that's located on top of Crystal Peak, which has coverage of Monterey Bay, all the way down to King City, and over to Santa Cruz, and parts of the San Francisco Bay that R1 cannot reach, which is from Oakland all the way down to Fremont. Okay. What do we do? That's an excellent question that we do get from time to time. Basically, what we do is we offer free repeater service to those who have a GMRS license. We do not require membership, nor do we require dues or fees to use the system. However, we do appreciate any funds that come in. Few people are aware that repeater is costly. To date, we have spent over $5,000 on this Barn R1 repeater and over $3,000 on the Barn R2 repeater, along with any fees that may come with the system power facility and any equipment that may break down or would need to be replaced. At this time, we do provide service for other organizations. We are not a sole entity who only allows Barn members to use a system. We welcome anyone. We do have basic membership, private A membership and private B membership. A basic membership pretty much is available to anyone who may sign up and receive email updates via our quarterly messages that we send out, the newsletter that we send out to everyone, plus our yearly newsletter that we do send out via email as well as standard snail mail, which summarizes what we have done for that year. And it's a pretty nice way to keep in touch if you just want something that's free and you don't have to pay anything for it. Our private A membership is $10 a month, and you subscribe to our website via PayPal, which we accept cash, credit, debit, PayPal transfers, whatnot. Anyway, and that includes everything that the basic membership has. Plus, we do have an additional online chat room, discussion boards, forums, discounts for equipment they sell through our business partner, Bay Area Theater System. And I will go over that in a few seconds here. We also offer discounts for any training classes that may come up, everything from how to build a repeater to how to use one, and different subjects that we do get from time to time. The private B membership is for organizations or businesses or anyone that would like to become a part of Bay Area Theater Net, either financially or if they'd like to donate equipment or would like us to provide them with equipment to use for their event. That also includes everything that is, comes with the private A membership and basic membership. To become a private B member, you do need a business or organizational nonprofit license, plus your name, your mailing information, phone number, and et cetera. It is free, but again, it is only open for business or organizational organizations. Who we we are. We are individuals that enjoy talking with other people, staying in contact with families, we do have, like I said, we do have coverage across the entire Bay Area as well as the Monterey Bay. And it does cut down on cell phone costs. Our signals do reach in the areas where you may not have cell service or other services or access to phone lines or roads or places like that. It's a nice way to stay in touch with people if you don't have access to like a cell phone. You need to stay in touch with your parents, your mom and dad, or your children when they're out and about or if they're driving. We do have staff associates that help us out with the repeater system, and we call them the system trustees. If I'm out of town or we need attention on the repeater system, they are in charge of that area, and we'll direct the attention to you. We do have a few goals that we'd like to address. First one, of course, is the NPRM, which we are all here for tonight. We're also trying to upgrade our controllers that we have on our system. Currently, we have old controllers that do not offer the fun toys that we'd like to offer to you. The new controllers that we're looking at do cost $320. And those will allow us to create code to control the system more easily and efficiently. Will give us toys to use for you guys. You can punch in a code and you can hear the time, or it'll announce system announcements or anything else that we decide to throw in there, like signal strength meters and whatnot. It's just basically like a hobby that we like to have and provide for our GMRS license users out there. We also are looking for people to help us support with the cost of our monthly site fees. For more information about that, or if you'd like to help us out monthly, or maybe send a small gift to show up, then feel free to call us, contact us, or call us via our website on the contact information page. All right, let's get to the NPRM here. What I'll do is we'll go over the NPRM that we have. If you'd like a copy of it, like to go over it with us, it is available on our website, either on the main page of Bay Repeater Net, which again is barnsys.org/barns, or if you look on our news and information page on Barns, it's also under the news page as well. I think some of the things here that have touched us greatly is the proposal to for repeater removal. There are power restrictions that they're looking at, voice scrambling, a few technical things. Station licensing is a big issue that we have going on. They would like to change this to license by rule. Which means that the call signs will no longer be valid and you do not have to register for a GMRS license. It'll pay pretty much another CD or FRS system or service, and we can't afford that, especially with the amounts of money that we put in for repeater systems nationwide, as well as the use that it gets out. A few things that I have noticed about the NPRM is that they do want to change the GMRS signal to narrowbanding. What that means is we're currently at a frequency width of 25 megahertz, and they'll be moving it down to 12.5 megahertz, which is standard for the public safety frequencies that we currently have. A few changes for GMRS portable devices. They want to change wattage on that. And few rule changes for family radio service. They also would like to add beacon locators through the Garmin International Company. to allow their GPS devices to transmit beacon notifications or beacon tones across the GMRS channel. The reason they see behind that is because GMRS has a higher power and they feel that their beacon signals will be heard at a greater distance. What they don't realize is that it may cause interference to the current computer systems that are here. And if you're in a very dense wooded area or inside a building, chances are that someone else will hear your beacon will be next to nothing because of the power that they plan on putting out for them. It still wouldn't matter. And each unit that I've seen on the market is anywhere between $250 and $300. For a very basic unit, you could probably get by with maybe $180 for one, but it's just not worth it in the end. You know, for someone to hear your beacon that you're sending out as a distress signal, the other person has to have the same radio or the a radio that can receive beacon locator information. And the chances of that happening, if you're in a dire extreme emergency versus using a repeater system or trying to get a hold of someone that may be monitoring a GMRS, probably unlikely that someone will be monitoring for a beacon signal if they're out in the middle of the forest or Yosemite or wherever. there's no one else out there who's listening to you. So, good luck. what I'm going to do right now is I have the NPR in front of me. We'll be changing this over to questions and answers or comments towards myself or anyone in general. To do this, if you'd like to make a comment or question, please announce your call sign in order when I direct you to. And when that person announces their call sign, I'll write it down, and the next person will announce their call sign and so forth, so we have everyone on the list. Then I will go back to the first person who announced their call sign and give them some time on the repeater before I go on to the next one. Again, if you do have questions or comments and you cannot access the repeater, but you do have access to the internet, you may contact us through our chat window that we have on our website under the contact information page, and we will respond to you through both chat as well as on the repeater, so everyone is on the same page. All right, questions or comments, please announce your full call sign. And if there's more than one person, please wait your turn until the system is clear and then announce your call sign. I will write everyone's call sign down and then go back in order and start the discussion for the first part. All right, go ahead.
WQLF 924. WQLF 904.
All right, I have two call signs. Any other call signs or other users out there go into a comment, please announce your call sign.
WQLS 1.
Okay, let's go back, start with the first one, and then you have it. Mention your call sign, we'll give you another chance. WPLF 924, go ahead.
So, yeah, I just was curious about, I guess, kind of the current status of the proposal and how imminent is its approval or execution.
I was in contact with another gentleman, Greg Forrest, the KF1291, who's the owner of the Northern California GMRS Users Group. And he and I were in a discussion last week on the phone. He thinks that if this does go through, the FCC could take anywhere from a couple months to a year to process the rules. And then he also thinks that the current GMRS licenses will turn into grandfather licenses, which is what happened when they made the Class A business vans against the GMRS. Those grandfather licenses with the KA call sign came on the GMRS, and they're using our system underneath their old call sign. We think that's the same thing that'll happen this current change. So if the rules still go through and they do knock off licensed users or repeaters or, you know, worst case scenario, it could take anywhere from maybe 10 to 15 years that they'll give us time to continue to use our system before we have to move off. But we really do not know what could happen. We're just basing off of the past past actions that the FCC has done previous years with our switch to new systems and new services.
Cool, thanks. Good info. Back to net control.
Sure thing. All right, next on the list we have is WQLF904. Go ahead.
Yeah, real quick question, actually. I guess this goes through, because I operate a 4-watt portable. Would I have to turn my radio in and get a qualified unit or any of my equipment that I'm running? Would I have to turn that stuff in? Or how can I lower the wattage if it does go through?
That's a good question. To be very honest with you, I think, you know, this is my thought. I don't have a definitive answer. I will be forwarding this audio that we're recording tonight to several people who could have a better answer. They could reply back to us, and then I'll send out a system-like email to everyone who's their part. You know, it's you're a licensed user for GMRS. You have your call sign. I think it would fall underneath the grandfather's rule, where you can still use your equipment for the lot of time that they give us until we're no longer able to operate our equipment under our license. So that would fall underneath the grandfather's system. But that's just my guess. That's what could happen. So. Say, hypothetically, you're allowed to operate your 4-watt handheld underneath your grandfather license for another 10, 15 years, or however long they allot that time. And then after that time, when they say you must cease and desist all use of that equipment, including your call sign after that time, then that's when you have to switch down and follow the rules that they have in place. But again, that's just my guess or thought on that matter, what could happen. Which we have to take the
back. Copy. No further questions.
Okay. Next on the list, we do have a WQLF and then a 1 at the end. I did not get your full call sign. If you could please restate your full call sign and your question, please. Radio on discussion forum and in the NDRM, they proposed that if you paid your $85 and we're allowed to keep our call sign, and they do extend it into the grandfather system, thereafter they will not allow, and again, this is if they do discontinue the call sign or license, they switch license by rule. we can't apply for new call signs. If that is the case, they will allow your call sign to be used either through the allotted time, with or without renewal, but they will, again, if they do not allow call signs, if you try and renew your license, your renewal will be denied. And again, as I said, if they do not allow call signs anymore or pay for a license, any new person that tries to apply for a license will be refunded their money back and will be denied the license. And that is, that does state that in the NCRM that the FCC has sent. And I could assume that you're allowed to use the call sign for the continuance under the grandfather rule until such time as they can fit, or whenever that cutoff time would be. Then that's when that's when you can't use the call sign again. But I assume that's under a worst-case scenario, and if and only if the this does go through. We do have time for a few more. If there's anyone else that would like to comment or questions for me, for the organization or the NPRM, again, please state your call sign, and I will add them to the list. Quiet voice out there. Did anyone copy his call sign or question? If not, if you could please speak a little bit louder and closer to the mic so we can hear you. Nothing but static on my end. 904, did you copy the traffic by chance?
No, sir. It's real staticky on my end, too. All I heard was a little voice, but other than the rest of it was just nothing but a buzz.
Okay, to the user out there who's trying to get in, I do apologize. We cannot hear you. I would say try again to a better location, maybe outside. Like I said, we do have handheld coverage from San Francisco all the way down to the South Bay. So you're, you should be able to get in if you're outside. Otherwise, you're more than welcome to send us an email or give us a call, which you can find the information on our website. I'll let you try again and now, and if we can't get you in, then we'll move on. Yeah, I apologize, sir. I can't hear you, and if Matt or anyone else out there can hear you, we'll have to do a relay. Matt, did you copy at that time? Okay, I really do apologize about this, sir. Best thing I'd say is send us an email with your questions and comments, and we can address it from there. All right, I'll let it go one more time if anyone else is out there for this first part of the net. If you have any questions, comments, anything at all about Bay Area Meter Net, who we are, what we do, our goals, or anything about the NCRM, please announce your call sign in order, and I will write them on the list, and I will go back and address your issue. Okay, copy that. All right, since I don't hear anyone Well, let's go to the second part of the net. I am opening the net for any discussions among our users that we have currently. Please do leave room in between your transmissions and do not quit me. That way we can get everyone in there. Try and limit your transmit time to 3 minutes. Otherwise, the repeater timeout timer will cut you off. we have had that before. If you need to talk longer or longer than 3 minutes, just announce the word break, unkey, and then repeat to continue the thought. If you have any discussions, questions, comments for myself or another user, I'm now opening that. You guys, go right ahead. All right, I guess we don't have any discussions, questions, comments for anyone. Let me open up the floor to anyone who may have any further thoughts about anything in general, and then I will be closing the net. I have not received anyone on the chat, but if you have sent me an email, I will check it after the net here and reply back to you. If you're not aware of the chat that we have, go to www.barnsys.org/barn. Again, that's www.barnsys.org/barn, B-A-R-N. And click on the contact information link at the on the menu bar. And underneath that, you'll see contact and see a chat. And you can chat with us on the website while we have the net going. If you'd rather send an email and keep your comments private, you may do so as well, either our online form that we have or via email. And we will respond to you via email to keep your comments private. All right, any final questions, comments, thoughts, announcements, anything at all, direct either towards me or someone else about the NTRM, go ahead now.
Kilo-up
904, go ahead.
With that thing of the rule regarding base stations, is there going to be restrictions on how high the antenna can go if the water's just going to go lower? There's going to be any changes for base unit setup, what will be the restrictions, the limits on how high can an antenna go for a UHF GMR?
That's a good question. If you can hang on 1 second, I will look it up here for you, and we can go over that.
We're standing by.
Long page here. Here we go. General mobile radio service. All right. Let's see here. One thing that I'll address while I'm on this page, while I'm looking for your answer, Matt. I believe one of you guys had a question about licensing. They do have an alternative plan. And if you're looking on the NTRM, it's on page 12, paragraph 28, under the GMRS radio service heading. It does state that if they were to maintain the individual license requirement for all or some types of GMRS operations, they would propose to extend the GMRS license term from 5 years to 10 years to conform with most other wireless services. So if they do decide to keep the license around, they would probably switch to 10 years. The reason for this is it says that extending GMRS license terms to 10 years would decrease the administrative burden on both the general public and the commission without, and they quote, we believe, any adverse impact. It also promotes standardization of general licensing rules and streamlining of administrative requirements. And of course, they say that we seek comments on a proposal to extend license terms to 5 to 10 years. If the individual licensing requirement is maintained for GMRS. So hopefully that expands our answer from a previous question we've had. All right, let me scroll down here. Let's see here. Yeah, it got cut off. 3 minutes time on timer. You gotta love those things. Why do we have that? Yeah, keep the power amplifier cool on the repeater. That's all. Okay. All right, Matt. Under the page 13 of the FCC NPRM that I gave you, under number 3, CMR's portable devices. Since currently there are no portable, or no power limits specifically addressed in the portable CMRS radios, mobile stations are only subject to 50 watt ERP limit, and let's see here, they propose to prohibit CMRS portable devices from operating at more than 2 watt ERP. ERP is effective radio power, and that's the power that's coming out of the antenna, for like, say, if you have like a repeater or filter, it's minus the filter, minus the line, directly they're taking into account the power output of the transmitter and the power out from the antenna. So that's the effective radiant power for ERP. And so they say that they're going to propose to prohibit GMRS portable devices from operating more than 2 watts ERP. They're right here. It says that this is the same power limit that applies to portable units used in light and low power industrial business school Part 90 land mobile operations in the 450 to 470 megahertz range. And in quotes, they say it's the same frequency range as GMRS. A review of equipment operation applications for portable GMRS units reveals that many units already operate at less than 2 watts ERP. This is in reference to a staff review performed on January 5th of this year by searching the equipment operations database for GMRS handheld portable radios. Power limit should be adequate to ensure the devices meet the RF exposure limit for the general public. Also states that they note that it will also promote economies of scale because Canada's licensed exempt radios operating in this manner limits to 2 watts ERP, and they see comments on all aspects of this proposal. Since they also see comments on power limits for other classes of GMRS operations, and I'm on paragraph 34 here of the NPRM. Most station classes currently may transmit with up to 50 watts output power. This is a relatively high power for stations that are uncoordinated, and with the use of gain antennas, the actual radio power could be much higher. Given that GMRS licenses are not issued on a coordinated or exclusive basis, they say, should we continue to permit 50 watts operations? They do recognize that the authorized level of station power antenna height may impact spectrum efficiency. Furthermore, they note that the personal communication environment has evolved substantially for allowing repeater operations for GMRS. They see comments on whether repeater and base station operations still needed for GMRS, given the availability of commercial alternatives that follow the more efficient use of the spectrum. I believe that's all that's covered under for power to your question. Did I cover that, or do you need to expand or have another question for me?
Actually, that was pretty much it. My main question was, I mean, how high can an antenna go, though? I'm on a roof or a UHF system. But my thought was it would be something like 20 feet up in the air would be legal, but I'm not sure what the limit is.
Okay, that was your second half. Yeah. Doesn't say, maybe I'm just in it here. Hang on. Let me look real quick. Doesn't say anything other than small base or small control stations are restricted to 5 watts ERP and an antenna height of no more than approximately 20 feet above ground level. You know, it doesn't say under their new rules that they propose that they'll be restricting antenna height. Let me look here. They do have a list for the new rules that they proposed. Let me look through here. Under the new rules for GMRS, base stations are 50 watts output power. Small base stations operate on an even number of GMRS channels are 5 watts output power. GMRS 6 stations, 15 watts. Mobile stations, not portable or handheld units, are 50 watts. And GMRS portable handheld units, 2 watts ERP. Let me look here to see if they address antenna height. Okay, for GMRS, page 58 of the HPRM 95.45 antenna limit. This is under their new rules, not the current rules that they have. For GMRS, certain antenna structures used in a GMRS system and that are more than 200 feet in height or are located near. Drop the alphabet there. Try this again. Or are located near or at a public use airport must be notified to the FAA and registered with the commission as part of Part 17 of this chapter. The antenna for small base or control station must not be more than 20 feet above the ground or above the building or tree on which it is mounted. Each base station and each control station with an antenna height greater than 20 feet must be separately identified on Form 605, which is the license form. Any GMR station licensed after and then the effective date of rules and located north of line A, east of line B must have an antenna no more than 20 feet above the ground or above the building or tree on which it is mounted. And the antenna of a handheld portable GMR unit must be an integral part of the transmitter. The antenna must have no gain and must be vertically polarized, which means it cannot have a detachable antenna on portable units. For these rules. And that's all that says about antenna height for antenna limit.
Okay, one more question about the portable unit. My HT600 Motorola antenna can come off. Is that considered detachable? Or is that under a different category?
That is considered detachable. And I don't see, it just says GMRS, it doesn't refer to, for FRS, the antenna of each FRS transmitter band must be an integral part of the transmitter, the antenna must have no gain, it must be very localized. So for GMRS, for handheld, they do state that it must be an integral part, so it cannot be a detachable antenna, even for GMRS. Now, I assume that that refers to any new radio that comes out. If you're operating a radio under your current license, that would be a question to ask the FCC directly if you can still use your radio with a detachable antenna under GMRS. That'd be a great question for them. in my opinion, if I had to guess, it might be allowed under your grandfather license or your license, but I do not know other than what it states if you're able to use a detachable antenna on a portable handheld device for GMRS when these rules do go into effect, or if you actually have to get rid of those old radios and buy a radio that has a non-detachable antenna. That's out of my knowledge.
Okay, copy. That was my question. No more further.
Okay. Anyone else that have any questions or comments? We still have some time before I close the net. If you have a question or comment, please take your call sign and get directed to myself or to anyone else in the group.
WQLS 924, just before. before I get out of range, just wanted to thank you, Ryan, for giving out the info and running the net. Good info and good to hear some discussion about it. So, 73LWQLF924.
Thanks much. I do appreciate Xenia and joining us tonight. And as I mentioned, if you would like a copy of tonight, I can send it to you by email, or you can download it by Monday morning, which will have a link to the audio on our service. All right, have a good night, 73. Okay, anyone else have any questions or comments? I'll give you a few more minutes here to chime in, and go ahead. Before I forget, I did forget to mention, forgot to mention that Colin Moore of the PRSG, or Personal Radio Hearing Group, did send me an email, guidelines to issues raised in FCC NPRM here. I can send you a copy of what he sent, since we are running out of time here. He does have two files here. One was the guidelines to issues, and the other one is a fee conundrum in the FCC and PRM that he wanted to share with the group. But he's looking out in Michigan. So you know, as much as he'd love to chime in on the discussion tonight, he couldn't. But if you'd like a copy of either of the documents, I can email them to you. Just shoot me an email, and I'll send them over to you. All right. With no more questions or comments, I think we will close the net. We thank everyone for coming out and joining us tonight. And for those who have listened or monitored on a scanner or bubble pack and were not able to join with us tonight, but did have questions or comments in regards to this, again, please contact us via email or chat window on our website. Again, the website is www.barnsys.org. That is www.barnsys.org. And then click on Bay Area Repeater Net. And under the contact information page, you can find our contact information. All right, and again, the audio for tonight will be available on our website via our server by Monday morning, and you may download the audio then. All right, have a great night, everyone, and we hope to hear you on the BARN network again. 73, this is WQI 2 tonight. Clear the next.